Hello, my name's Sylvester McCoy, Doctor Who number 7. You are listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. Yes, that's what. There's something wrong with the speaker. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Josh Liston from On the Bubble Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at gunnageeknetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Whitten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
Charles Martin.
I got their first album, The Salty Butter.
And Haley Malley.
I used to be right next to a train track.
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers, we do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning.
Welcome to episode 312 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we employ the latest advances of science and weigh a woman against a waterfowl to determine the purity of her soul. You can't argue against that kind of logic. I'm Haley.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Jay. And this week, we were all turned into newts. Don't worry, we got better. And we returned to an era of paranoia and religious purity with the newest Series 11 installment, The Witchfinders. So, I don't know about you guys, I'm not very well versed in the British witch trials. I've been studying a lot of the Salem witch trials lately, and there's a lot of parallels here.
I was vaguely aware that they also had them in England, mm-hmm. and that was about as far as my knowledge went.
I knew about Prettle Hill, but I never really looked into it terribly deeply, no.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they both tend to revolve around, you know, land disputes or things along those lines where all of a sudden, things just get way out of control. And
cheating husband's also a good source of a witch.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Well, I thought this plot had a lot to say to us today. You know, I thought it was super subtle, but I think the overall themes of fear and dogma can lead you into a very bad place are still, you know, there's sadly, 4 centuries later, they're still just as relevant as they were then.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Anytime that you let emotions and stuff like that kind of overtake logic, even it's just interesting to see how twisted all of it can become the minute that that someone starts getting upset. And it's like, you're really, what was it? The fourth doctor, I think, quoted the very powerful and the very stupid have one thing in common. They alter the facts to fit I can't remember.
Yes. They don't alter their opinions to fit facts. They do the whatever. Yeah, yeah. Something along those lines. It was very clever.
City of Death, that one.
Yeah. You can send your angry emails to...
It's Keir's fault. If he were here, he would know it, but
exactly.
He's not. So this
we'll
is what
him.
You get.
Yeah. This train wreck of the podcast brought to you by Keir's absence. So
Keir at GallifreyPublicRadio.com.
Yeah. Keir's absence, when chaos is your friend.
So what did we think about the overall storyline, though? So we, aside from the historical aspect of it and however realistic or whatever that part is, like, what did we think of the plot line of the witch trials and the Morax and King James and all of this? How did that play out with you, Charles?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I did kind of very much enjoy this episode. I'm really enjoying pretty much the whole season. I don't really have too much to complain about here. It was interesting to see, First of all, I think this is the first all-location episode of Doctor Who in the new season. I believe everything was shot, or almost everything was shot, on location. And Lancashire, I know this area. So, yeah, I was super happy to see that. But as for the actual story, it's yet another pseudo-historical with an alien element in it, but I'm kind of okay with that. I don't mind this, especially when the effects, which are quite sparing in this episode, but when they come out, they are good. So I was overall very pleased. I was especially pleased to see that once again this week everybody had something to do.
Yeah. Haley?
Well, we once again started an episode with our crew having to witness some horrible historic event. The Doctor tries to change it at the last second but can't. And I was kind of ready for something sillier, which is odd to say because, like, the silly episodes are not usually our favorites. But I don't know. I feel like we've had a few heavy ones in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the need for a romp.
Yeah. This one definitely, it could have gone silly. And I'm glad that they didn't, just because it is such it's a serious topic. I mean, aside from how ridiculous we may think it is now looking back on it with, you know, a modern viewpoint or whatever. But, I mean, this is a serious thing where people were, you know, wholesale getting murdered and it was completely acceptable. So I'm kind of glad that they kept a bit of gravity to it. But I agree with you. I think it's time that, you know, we need something more lighthearted or at least not so heavy. This would be a good one to have. This would be a good time in the series to have something like our second episode where it was just it didn't have to have that kind of gravity.
Yeah, we didn't need that yet.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that most of this whole season has resolved around stories in which the fate of the entire universe is not hanging in the balance?
Yeah, it's a smaller scale season.
Yeah, or for that matter, even Earth.
Yeah.
Not really hanging in the balance. The other thing I will say, though, is that especially if you watch the news carefully, the witch trials are still going on, sadly.
Yeah, where was it? In Pakistan, a woman was just finally pardoned after being sentenced to death for blasphemy.
Yeah. And we have, and not to get too topical about this because it'll age the podcast badly, but we have stuff going on that is in the news right now that is all about fear of the other. And that to me was the big lesson to take away from this episode, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, so let's take a look at the characters we had in this one. So obviously, our main, we'll say antagonist, it was kind of weird. Everything kept on getting jostled around, and you never really knew where people stood exactly until the very end. But Madame Savage being our primary antagonist in this, what do we think of her?
She was your classic bully.
Well, you know, what was interesting to me is that both of the antagonists of a sort, King James also sort of counting as one, and the others, they're all, you know, the theme here was paranoia. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of that, but she kept it under wraps until the very end. But she, yeah, this constant suspicion that everybody who may know something about you needs to be put to death. I thought that was, again, a nice parallel with what's going on. But I thought she was just a regular stock central casting sort of villain, albeit well played, until she turned over, you know, until the mud took over. And then I was so impressed with those effects. Really, really taken aback. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't seem to... There were moments where you almost wanted to side... Or not side with her, but you could kind of understand. And we've talked about that on this podcast a number of times where the most important villains are the ones where you can look and be like, I understand where you're coming from. I may not agree with you, but I totally understand it. And that she definitely had
a backstory. Yeah.
Yeah. And that I feel like that's the thing that a lot of the lackluster villains are missing. And so the fact that we're getting that, the fact that, you know, she had a history, even though it may not have played exactly into what we needed to know about the story at that point, it did help to make her feel like an actual person and not just, hey, here's the person we're going to fight this week.
Yeah. And I like the way the Doctor sussed out her motivation, but also the tear in her eye, the mud tear. Mm-hmm. That was a great heads up to the audience, you know, and a clever way of of really signaling exactly what was going on.
Yeah, it was a nice kind of like, that's when the penny dropped, and it's like, okay, now we know exactly where everybody stands and what's going on, and it was almost that release that you needed at that point to.
Yeah, and once again this week we had an unlikable character in King James, who turned out to just be an unlikable character. He wasn't evil, the big bad,
right? And he was
so well cast for this to be a silly episode.
Oh yeah. And I think that he brought the levity that this needed without going over the top. It was fun.
I don't know. That was pretty camp. But to be fair, probably not too far off historical accuracy.
But what I'm saying is, like, it didn't go stupid slapstick kind of humor where it wasn't played specifically to downplay everything else. It was right. it was the laughs that you needed, because it's like, look at how silly this guy is. And it was just, it worked for me.
I think the Doctor's clever dialogue did a better job of that than he did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can get behind that one too.
And the nice thing about it was, even though it was a very broad performance and very camp in a lot of places, but there was just this background, like especially his scene with Ryan, and the last scene where he lets Ryan go, actually,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, he's king, he's not used to doing that at all. So there were moments where you could see behind his facade a bit and into James's childhood drama and all of that. So he's more front than he puts on a brave front, but there is a scared kid underneath there, and he kind of brought that out, Alan.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a good performance. I thought the character was likable in an unlikable way. Like I enjoyed having his character there, even though I didn't like the things that he did.
Yeah, reminded me a lot of Bruce Purchase's performance in The Pirate Planet, for example, as the mm-hmm. captain. You know, he was a big, broad, brash fellow, but you couldn't hate him, really, even when you found out his horrifying plot.
Yeah. So what about our primary ally in Willa? What do we think of her?
How old was she supposed to be?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got the impression that she was like a late teenager, you know?
Yeah. Just like on the verge of being able to support herself, or actually able to support herself, but not
well,
totally
that was,
without.
She was living with her grandmother, which implies her parents were dead, which implies, you know, that she's that she was around for that, and whatever happened to cause that, her mother obviously may have been another victim, but yeah, she seems like she's old enough to drive, but
I don't know, I would have bought anywhere between like 13 and 20.
Yeah, it something, was very nebulous, something in that but, range. I agree.
But it wasn't really relevant, so we never needed to really understand it. It was just
life expectancy at the time
that
was like
40. Got stuck in my head, and
yeah.
I didn't get the answer.
She was young enough for this, for all of the emotions of this, to really have control of her. You know, you see her get scared and realize that, crap, I have to side with the bad guys if I'm going to get out of this alive. And and you can forgive her for that because you understand that she's young. The emotions are in the driver's seat right now. And so I think that was one of the redeeming aspects of her, was the fact that, you know, they gave her the chance to apologize, to realize that she made her mistake, but you could understand it as well.
Yeah, that key line where she says that I didn't believe her grandmother mm-hmm. when her grandmother said that one day Madame Savage would come for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a key turnover moment. And that went right alongside the scene where she does decide not to run away and to actually face up to the issues.
Yeah.
Those were really good. I hate to sound like a sexist pig here, but we do seem to be getting a long run in the last few years of the show of young girls being the center heroine of the story, and I have no objection to this per se, but let's vary it up a little. This one seemed a lot like several previous stories.
Yeah, but this was one that really, I mean, it needed a young heroine. Men weren't really the persecuted.
It fit perfectly in the story. Yeah. And like I say, I have no objection per se, but.
Yeah. So, and what about the when we finally get the revelation of who is causing all of this, and it's not. This was one I felt like, had it been a strictly historical, it would have been difficult to actually write a, a, a plot around and not have it turn out horribly. So
Yeah, because everyone whose name we know died.
Yeah.
So well, the only other option you would have is to have one of them actually be a witch. You know?
Right.
I was hoping they were going to go that way. Like when the mud thing first started coming out of the ground, it's like, yeah, they were witches. That doesn't mean they're bad people.
Yeah. Then it surely would have been Willa who has accidentally realized that, oh, wait, you mean these spells are actually working?
Oh, no. Well, or have them be like, you know, they're actually aliens. They're benevolent aliens, but they have powers, and that's why they're witches.
And I kind of thought that it was, I kind of thought that they were going to be at least not malicious, you know, when they start coming up and they're just waiting for the, you know, they don't attack until they get attacked. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be another one that we've gotten before where it's, you know, it's a misunderstanding or people are just acting on fear or something like that. And then no, Madame Savage flips over and, oh, wait, we're just, you know, the Daleks, but with mud masks.
Those were really terrific mud masks, though.
Yeah,
it's funny, though. This is, again, an occasion where the monster is silent for the longest time until finally one of them learns to talk. And then, well, can't shut them up.
Yeah. they took the time to give them, you know, the moment to just fully explain, nope, we're here to take over, we're going to kill everybody, we're going to rain death and destruction. And I mean, it was just beat after beat after beat of, we're going to do all of these horrible things, so that there was no doubt, okay, we need to kill all these people. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it kind of beat you over the head with, this is an evil alien, guys, we're actually going to fight them now.
Yeah, the story pivoted to that nicely, although I couldn't help but be reminded of the Satan pit. What's that? The lock is old and starting to fall apart, and now you can escape? Really? I've never seen that before.
Yeah. But
interesting to me that the Morax was apparently a race that the Doctor had not previously encountered. That's always nice to see, just like Tim Shaw. That's kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
That she doesn't have an encyclopedic knowledge of their past, you know?
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird that you have this entire race that's imprisoned on Earth, and yet the Doctor's never heard of them, never knew anything about it. Yeah, it just seems like that's the kind of big deal that she'd probably have heard of at some point in her lives.
Really, more that they were convicted of war crimes.
Yeah.
Like, if they were convicted of war crimes and imprisoned on a planet different than where they came from, then it was war crimes on a galactic scale. Which I think she should know about.
So why a hill in Lancashire? That part never did quite get...
Well, because a billion years ago, nobody was there.
Well, true.
Because plot. No. So in this one, it seemed kind of interesting that while Demons of the Punjab, we expected that was going to be Yaz's big thing. I feel like we got more of Yaz's backstory in just like a three-line exchange with Willa than we have at any point before now.
Well, it was certainly nice for her to have that scene, absolutely. Yeah. Well, she's been underplayed all season, so that if we're getting, you know, if we're getting her story come out in the installment plan, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was nice because it kind of added to the story that we had here, and it gave her the chance to kind of help contribute, you know, tell the ally what they needed to hear, kind of thing. But if you want to read into it, it kind of informs why she went into law enforcement, how she's made all these decisions. It kind of really does inform a lot of the stuff that could just be swept under the rug if you want to read that far into it. So,
yeah,
I
also like that that she's turning out to be the most empathetic person, you know, to others' plights. The Doctor's busy, you know, very often busy making plans. And so that empathy with the victims seems to be falling to her most of the time.
Yeah. I feel like, I almost feel like if King James hadn't singled Ryan out and began speaking to him, he almost could have been left out of this episode entirely.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a lot that he contributed beyond the, you know, giving the king someone to fascinate or, you know, fixate on for half a minute.
His Nubian prince.
Yes.
And I, but I, I like how Ryan just kind of rolled with that. He did. He was just like, and apparently this is what we're doing now. Okay.
Yeah. The first thing that I saw as, you know, that I really picked up on as I was falling into the story was that they were all walking around in their street clothes and nobody was freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody was commenting on the fact that the Doctor and Yaz were wearing pants.
Yeah. How did these four strangers come into the town, walk around like they own the place, and until, except for one moment, nobody accused them of being witches. I'm not sure. Yeah, especially when Graham put on that big hat. I mean, I know what the big hat's for, but, you know.
Yeah, it was...
When the doctor puts it on, it looks... I mean, she looked classic witch. Come on.
True. Very true. But, I don't know. I did like that the Doctor being a woman actually played into the plot in this one. Like, I don't want it to be a big deal. I really don't. But if you're going to bring it to the forefront, this is the place where you do it. And with someone like King James, that makes perfect sense, where it's just like, oh, you can't be the Witchfinder General. That's him over there. Yeah.
And there are stories where it makes sense that her gender would be relevant, and there are stories where it doesn't make sense that her gender would be relevant.
Right, yeah.
When you're talking about historic witch trials, then yes, gender matters a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that line that King James had about gossipy, being gossip, your innate womanly powers of gossip and nosiness. Mm.
Yes.
That was one of the best lines this entire season, in my opinion.
And I love that Graham was kind of like, look, I don't want to throw stones, but you're kind of proving them right now.
Yeah. I like how, all three of these guys, except for, well, I take that back. Ryan is still really bad at being tossed a line to have to, so you've got to make up a story really quick, improv, and he doesn't. Yaz can do it. Graham seemed to do it very well. Oh, I've just been promoted from Essex, So,
yeah,
I liked the way they used Graham this week. It wasn't a big part, and he had a silly hat.
Yeah.
But he got the flat hat.
Team structure line. That was fantastic.
The flat, very flat team area of specialty. He's a diplomat. That guy, he's really good. I'm just enjoying his character.
And it was kind of nice to see him like off on his. You know, we've always had the stories where once the companion's been with the Doctor for a while, we get them split up, and you get to see the companion being able to handle things on their own. And this really showed Graham is capable of that, and he really did. At the point where, you know, they're going off to find the monsters, and the Doctor's hanging back, and I'm like, whoa, that just seems really... Normally, the Doctor's like, no, let me face the danger, you do the other stuff.
Right.
And this just completely flipped that around, and yet the team, gang, fam... prove that they were capable of handling it.
I see what you did there, Ashley.
But yeah, so
it was really nice. And you do get, I sort of get the feeling, maybe it's just me, but I sort of get the feeling that, yeah, these guys have been having some off-screen adventures, some of which they've alluded to, and they're really a team. Everybody seems to know their place in the team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is, I found that this is working out well. I had a lot of concerns about having an older companion in the TARDIS, even though some of the older companions that have been in the Big Finish audios have been among the best and the best stories. But, you know, when I found out it was Bradley Walsh, I was a little more relieved, but he's working out fantastic.
Yeah. So and now that we're three quarters-ish of the way through the series, how are we feeling about where everything stands and how everything's going? Haley?
Well, I do feel like they said they weren't doing an arc. But like I said before, I think they do have some themes that they're building through.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw, again, like, somebody killed one of the bad guys in front of the Doctor, and the Doctor blew up over it. And
yeah,
I feel like that might be going somewhere.
I do, too. But I feel like this one, of any of them, this one should have been okay. Like, it felt the weirdest that the Doctor got upset about it. Because, you know, that we proved that this is a horrible... you know, demonic race that just wants devastation and suffering. And it's like,
yeah,
it of all of the villains that they've had to face, I feel like this is the one where the Doctor just needs to kind of have that rage that previous iterations have had. And it kind of caught me off guard when she got bent out of shape about it. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like this, it's so far this entire season, and maybe this is something they're building to, but I feel like the Doctor's been a bit more, I hesitate to use this term, but deferential. She didn't put up as much of a fight as I was expecting when King James just tossed her off. I did indeed love the fact that when he read the psychic paper, it said Witchfinder assistant.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's his mentality, fighting back, right?
Yeah.
So it couldn't possibly be a woman, so therefore it must be that guy.
It's not something that he could have accepted, so yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting how psychic paper works as a deus ex machina.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I do kind of appreciate the fact that the doctor just managed to get out of the chains, and then you have a throwaway line about hanging out with Houdini. That's a very doctor thing to do.
Yeah, where, very good weekend, he said. Yeah. She said. Pardon me.
All of the drama and the intensity and everything built like that. And,
yeah.
I mean, the music is swelling behind it, and it's this major thing, and you're actually getting kind of concerned about what's going to happen. And then she manages to just slip out of the chains and throw an offhand. It worked so well for me. I loved it.
Yeah.
But
I heard from some people that they were disappointed that that wasn't more of a rising up from the water on a cloud of sonic screwdriverness, saying, "I am from Gallifrey and the constellation of
Gaspera." That would have been hilarious if she came like the lady in the lake out of the water with the sonic.
Right? And wouldn't that have just proved that she was a witch, you see?
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
No.
Right.
I'm glad.
I want a King Arthur story.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun, yeah. All right, so are we ready to jump into the news?
Yes.
Sure.
Here's not here to stop us, so we're going to talk about ratings.
Yeah!
Numbers, haha.
I've got them. I've got a bunch of them for you.
All right.
So, as announced by Barb, the British ratings board, the Kerblam, the previous episode, got a total audience of 7.46 million viewers. And this is right in line with the last week before that and the one before that. It was ninth, so it was still in the top 10 for the week. And almost everybody who watched it on TV, which is interesting in this digital world we live in. But it's doing super well. Typically what happens is you get the overnight ratings, and they're somewhere around 5.5, and then about 1.5 million more people turn up in the 7+. So the Witchfinders got overnights of 5.66. So again, I think we're going to see ratings right in line with Kerblam.
Yeah.
So people, I think we've found how many people are core every week watchers, and it's about 7.5 million.
Yeah. All right. The next news article we've got, and there's been, I don't want to say rumors, it's actually something that, but news that...
Doctor Who rumors? Go on.
What?
the devil you say.
So Tom Baker has had this idea for a Doctor Who movie that he's been on for a while now. And, well, let's face it, it's never going to get made into a movie unless it's something that he releases on YouTube and calls it, you know, something weird like Inspector Spacetime or something.
Well, to be fair, this script was actually written. He and Ian Martyr wrote it together. And Ian turned out to be a terrific novelist. So I imagine that thanks to Ian, this story might even make sense, maybe. Yeah.
Well, but the point is that we are getting the story now, and it is being released as a novel instead. So definitely think that Martyr had some play in that. But
So. Also, I have it on very, very good authority that Big Finish writer James Goss actually handled the restructuring of the screenplay into the novel. Now, this is not to take away from Tom Baker, because Tom and Ian Martyr wrote this story. And it seems to be largely based on Tom's ideas. Oh, that should be fun. But most of the news stories I've seen about it fail to mention James Goss, and he's a fine, fine writer. So he deserves some of the credit.
So this is a fourth Doctor story where the Doctor, Harry Sullivan, and Sarah Jane Smith, so our fun team, wind up on a Scottish island with hideous scarecrows. So some familiarity for all kinds of Doctor Who fans. So I'll be interested to see when this actually comes out. I'm definitely going to have to get a hold of it. Because
I can't wait to read. I mean, Tom is credited as the author on the book. So that will be So that's coming out on the 24th of January, so we've got something to look forward to. Yep. And I predict on the 25th of January, Big Finish will try and get the audio rights.
You think they're going to wait that long?
Really? I'm sure there's furious phone calls into Tom Baker right now.
Well, speaking of Big Finish, they are just coming at it, firing on all cylinders. And now that they've got leave to do some of the modern Who, they're really, really hitting this hard. And so
they're like, oh, all of it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so who haven't we had a story from yet? Let's do one with Rose.
Before we get to Rose, I got to tell you, in other Big Finish news, Jessica Martin, who I am not related to, oddly enough, who played Mags. She and Sylvester McCoy are doing a series together. They are literally grabbing minor characters from stories and putting them with the Doctor and calling it a series.
Well, yeah. So lots of stuff coming from Big Finish. And if you haven't gotten sick of hearing us rave about them by now, then thank you.
You haven't been listening for long.
All right. But the last news article that we've got, and we touched on this a little bit before, but the BBC has now confirmed that Series 12 will actually broadcast in 2019.
Yeah.
So.
Yay.
Yeah.
There was a spate of rumors about this, but nobody actually asked the production office until finally Starburst magazine said, you know, we could just call them. And they gave a statement saying that, yes, it's true. Production started on it last month. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's true that it should air sometime in the fall, you know, barring BBC schedule juggling. But yeah, sometime in the fall of next year, so that says 2019, not 2020.
So the fact that we're having Doctor Who in 2019 isn't just the New Year's special. God, that feels wrong to say.
Just today, they leaked out a photo of Jodie in her new outfit for the New Year's special.
What? Do you mean the Doctor can change clothes?
It's right? Well, it's hardly a change. It's very similar, but...
Is it a different T-shirt?
There's an exciting new scarf.
Ooh.
What? Yes. I don't want to say much more than that. I do want to jump back to the Rose Tyler thing because we forgot to mention a few things like, by the way, Camille Kadoury, who everyone loves, is coming back as her mom. Sean Dingwall is her dad. So, yeah, this is going to this series for Rose Tyler, which is called The Dimension Canon, is going to be wild. Wild.
It'll be interesting.
That is a spiffy scarf.
Well, now we have to include a picture in the news art links. Jeez.
You're welcome.
More work for Keir. Jeez.
Yeah, what are you complaining about?
We should mention that this audio series with Camille and Sean and Billy Piper and all this isn't coming out until next September. So
yeah,
you got a while.
Well, that's what you do with Big Finish. You go ahead and buy it now, and when it shows up, it's like, holy crap, yay, I forgot about it.
Yeah, right. Pre-order it now, kids, and then you'll get an early Christmas present that you've totally forgotten about.
So, the last thing that we wanted to touch on is there were some, and these infuriate me, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but yeah, rumors that Chris Chibnall and Jodie were likely to leave after Series 11. So now that we know that 12...
Doctor Who rumors? The devil you say.
So now that we know that Series 12 is already in production and it's coming out next year, the likelihood of that being the case is, you know, slim to none.
Ridiculous.
Oh, well, the rumor has already been adjusted to make it so that it's after the next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just... Can we just enjoy what we have? Is that too much to ask as fans?
No, we can't.
Anyway, so... Yeah,
this is why we can't have nice things.
Well, next week we have something nice. We have a new episode of Doctor Who.
Yay!
So, yay, we're going to be coming back next week with It Takes You Away. So,
don't care for the title, but I'm hoping the episode will be awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's set in Norway. I love Norway.
Yeah, and I like the fact that the next time trailers aren't spoiling everything now. Like, they're very just, hey, here's a random picture. Here's a random image. And it's just, it doesn't seem to give you any idea what the plot is or anything like that. And I love that because after revealing John Sim a little too early last season, I've just been... This is what I want.
This forthcoming one is written by Ed Heim, so again, not Chibnall, and directed by Jamie Childs, who has a great track record this season so far. So this should be great.
All right. So this has been episode 312 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, forgive the mask. I have enemies everywhere and have to travel incognito. Also, I rather like the drama.
This is Charles saying, there have been various attempts to kidnap me, kill me, or blow me up. It's a miracle I'm still alive. It's a miracle that I have survived whilst all around me others fail.
And this is Haley saying, these are hard times for women. When we're not being drowned, we're being patronized to death.
Amen.
We will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.